Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, Chair of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And today we have, another excellent program for you. We've titled it Racism, A Change of Heart. And we're going to be looking at the real root of racism, which, of course, exists all over the world today. And it's such an important topic. And we're blessed to have in our diocese a woman named Pam Harris. Welcome, Pam. You're going to be our guest today, of course. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pam is the Director of Ethnic Ministries for the Diocese of Columbus. She's been with us in the diocese now for 2 years, and she's the president, actually, of the National Association of Black Catholic Administrators, which, unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of Black Catholic administrators. We talked in our last program, Pam, which is in our archives. I hope our listeners will consult it, about the history of African Americans in the Catholic Church in America, which is fascinating. And we don't have enough African Americans in our church, do we, Pam? And let alone as administrators. So we're blessed to have you with us. And Pam previously was a director for the Office of Black Catholics in the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia for 10 years. And she has a 31-year-old son, a 21-year-old daughter. And now we're blessed to have her again as part of our diocese here in Columbus. So Pam, we're so happy to have you speaking on this issue today and sharing your heart. Which is also the heart of our Catholic bishops. When we titled our program Change of Heart, that really relates to the document by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops called their letter is Open Wide Our Hearts on the subject of racism. And I want to start, Pam, with their definition of racism at the beginning of their letter. And then we're going to see really how that relates not only to our present situation, but particularly to the root that we want to get to in the human heart. So the bishops start out saying, what is racism? Racism arises when either consciously or unconsciously a person holds that his or her own race or ethnicity is superior, and therefore judges people of other races or ethnicities as inferior and unworthy of equal regard. When this conviction or attitude leaves individuals or groups to exclude, ridicule, mistreat, or unjustly discriminate against persons on the basis of their race or ethnicity, it is sinful. Racist acts are sinful because they violate justice. They reveal a failure to acknowledge the human dignity of the persons offended, to recognize them as neighbors Christ calls us to love. And there they refer to Matthew 22, verse 39. So as the bishops go on to discuss throughout their encyclical, their letter to us, they discuss some of the prejudices and biases that are part of our culture here in the United States, that can cause us not to recognize the inherent dignity of people who are different from us. So it's an issue that we really need to focus on and think through in our own hearts. So Pam, I know here in the diocese, you've been responsible for really helping in a variety of ways to tune people in the parishes, in our Catholic schools. We've even had a wonderful listening exercise that I want you to talk about a little bit later. But tell us how this call from our bishops here in the United States really affects your work, and particularly your work to get down to the change of the human heart.
Thanks. So basically, I appreciate you providing us the definition of racism out of Open Wide Our Hearts. I think this document, this pastoral letter, is a strong call for all of us to come at this in a spirit of love, in a spirit of welcoming the stranger, mm-hmm. in a spirit of seeing God in one another. And when the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops created the Ad Hoc Committee Against Racism in 2017, out of that, they talked much about what can we do now, or to continue to adopt a nonviolence response to the racial injustices in our country. And I was so happy to see when the bishops approved this pastoral letter, because since then they've been hosting listening sessions throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And we had ours, as you mentioned, last year in June with Bishop Shelton Faub, who is chair of the Ad Hoc Committee, and Bishop Brennan was there as well. So I think that the importance of the listening sessions and continuing on is that we do have this accompaniment to it. We do have this where we are all in this together. We are all made in the image and likeness of God, and we all strive to imitate Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one of the beauty of Bishop Brennan's leadership here in the diocese and our priests, our clergy, is that they're really coming together in hosting these discussions, and not only just having the conversation, but moving forward with that. And the great thing about the bishops is that on their website at usccb.org, there are so many resources out there to assist our priests and the laity as we continue to move forward, as we think about what can we do. I think I said this before, I really don't want to reinvent the wheel, so I appreciate all the work that the Ad Hoc Committee under the leadership of the UNCCB provided all this vast amount of resources for all of us at the parishes and the schools as well to be able to continue this conversation as we work together to dismantle the sin of racism.
Mm-hmm. I loved what the bishop said about the listening. One of the statements is, as Christians, we're called to listen and know the stories of our brothers and sisters. We must create opportunities to hear with open hearts the tragic stories that are deeply imprinted in the lives of our brothers and sisters, if we are to be moved with empathy to promote justice. And they say many groups, such as the Irish, Italians, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Poles, Jews, Chinese, and Japanese, can attest to having been the target of racial and ethnic prejudice. And then, of course, they talk about anti-Semitism and discrimination against that many Hispanics feel today, the anti-Muslim sentiment, and particularly the African Americans and Native Americans. There's a broad list of people that brothers and sisters in Christ whose stories are very powerful and can bring us, I think, to a much needed empathy for what they've experienced. Pam, when you had the listening session, and I was not part of that last year, are there any stories from that that really impacted you that you would like to share?
Well, I think one of the things I would like to share is out of the, we had a diverse group of individuals to speak. We had students, we had people who Hispanic, Asian, African American, European. So we were blessed to have such a diverse group of presenters, and I appreciate all of them for taking that time to have the courage to have this uncomfortable conversation, to really open themselves up. And we were so humbled to hear their respective experiences of those who are on the other side of racism and those who have been able to have that advantage of white privilege. But one of the things that we did was we asked the participants and the audience, of course, to complete a survey to help us as we move forward. And from those findings, just really briefly, one of the common things that came out of it was diversity and inclusion training for all staff, clergy, seminarians, all laity, and at the schools, and to promote solution-oriented sessions in which causes and actions of racism are discussed. And so to also share their personal stories of people of all different backgrounds. And that is something that, that we are doing, and I think we can certainly always do more, of course, but the power in listening to someone, to hear their experience, to put a face to not only just if it's tragedy, but the positive. I think we also have to understand that we all know the history of our nation, and it's not so much as dwelling on that, but it's on let's listen to one another to understand where we are in this moment so that we can move forward. Mm-hmm. And having that conversation, having that listening session with the bishops was so powerful, and it was so inspiring. And just to hear people of different ages also to really reflect on where they feel we are as not only as a church, but as a society as well.
Are you planning other listening sessions, Pam? Is this something that's going to be happening again in the diocese?
Yes. So now what we're doing is having the ongoing conversations. But this helps us to come together as a parish community to talk about where we are and how we can go forward. And the whole purpose and goal is for each parish community to continue that conversation there. Not only in the parish community, but in their families also. And to provide opportunities to empower people to go and visit other parishes where they normally would not attend, just to be there and support and to participate in the African American experience of praise and worship, or even to a Latino, a Spanish speaking mass also is another form of accompanying our brothers and sisters who do not look like us. To show that support and showing that willingness to want to understand and have these conversations so that we can be in right relationship with one another.
Hmm. Let me reintroduce you, Pam, for those who may have just joined our program. Our guest today is Pam Harris, who is the Director of Ethnic Ministries for the Diocese of Columbus. She's been in that role for 2 years here, and we're talking about today racism with the real answer to that being a change of heart, an answer that we can't disagree with. There are many, many ways of responding to that whole issue, but one thing that we know as Christians, as Catholics, is at the root of it, must be a change of heart where we begin to see each other as creatures, each of us, every one of us, made in the image and likeness of God. And I know, Pam, when we first met and were discussing, I mentioned, of course, my calling has been primarily in pro-life ever since 1973. It's just been the focus of the ministry for my husband and for me. And of course, at the root of that is the dignity of the human person from the moment of conception. And so that ultimate value that God made each of us as a special person, unrepeatable in history, is just core. And I see from our pro-life work, of course, how that is just not understood and that is not accepted by so many people in our world today, unfortunately. So we're talking today about the not only the ultimate solution of recognizing the dignity of every human person in the love of Christ and seeing Christ in each person, but what we're now doing, thanks to Pam's leadership in the Diocese of Columbus, with a listening particularly. And Pam, you were saying that one of the things your office is really focusing in now on is listening exercises in parishes. where people can sit down and hear each other's stories. And I'd like to give the contact information for those of who are listening today. If you're interested in that in your parish or in your school, to talk to Pam about a listening exercise, something that could happen in your community, you can reach her at ethnicministries@columbuscatholic.org, ethnicministries@columbuscatholic.org. And the document that we've been talking about, Open Wide Our Hearts, from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, is at usccb.org/racism. So, Pam, tell us about what some of the programs in your schools have been like, because I bet our Catholic schools have responded well to this opportunity to have some listening sessions and to bring you in.
They really have, and I'm just so humbled to be a part of it, because we're looking at our young people, and you know, in the darkness, there's always light. There's always hope.
Mm-hmm.
And having these conversations now, I find hope in our young people, because this has all unraveled together with Pope Francis, Christus Vive, with the USCCB doing journeying together with our young people. And so just to have our young people to be a part of this, it just speaks volumes with the importance of the young people to be engaged in every aspect of Christian life. And so to provide them a platform to talk about how they feel about racism, how they feel about what's going on today with the violence that they see in their communities, because this affects the family. The family is the heart of our community. And to see that violence that's plaguing the African-American community, it affects all of us. And so to be able to talk with students at DeSales High School, for instance, we had a listening session together, and it was a powerful moment just to hear the witness of these young people. And I'm so grateful to provide them with this opportunity to make their voices known, because it's important for us to let them know that we do value what they have to say, and we do value listening to them and them taking their time out of their much busy schedules, of course. And I learn something new every time I talk to a young person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just our young people have so much to have to be a witness to nowadays. This is nothing like what some of us have grown up in as far as the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a unique time to really provide them with this platform to help us as we continue to do all that we can in dismantling racism.
Pam, when you have these listening sessions at the schools, is this something that the parents participate in also? Is it held in the evenings, or do you do it during the school hours?
It's held in the evening, and the parents have participated. So we would like to see parents, current students, previous students, and faculty and staff. So that, because that gives you a diverse group of individuals and experiences,
mm-hmm.
to help the faculty understand how they got to where they are, whether it's so good or bad, and what they can do for moving forward. And so, just to have those variations is really a positive. It's a valuable experience and witness for the conversations that we're having. And again, it just doesn't stop with having a conversation with me being involved. It's something that continues on. It took a long time for us to get here, so it's going to take a long time for us mm-hmm. to get through it. So this is a process. And I know that, and I'm the same way too. Sometimes I want a result now. Like, we need to have this eradicated right now. But that's that's not realistic. And so I feel that it's important that we look to the bishops, the pastoral letter, Open Wide Our Hearts, and all other, our Catholic social teaching, the catechism, of course, scripture, absolutely. And I would like to go back to, I also think it's important that you highlighted this too, Peggy, that we all, it's a humbling experience to do a self-examination of our own conscience.
Mm-hmm.
It is so humbling to sit there and say, yes, I do have some form of prejudice or bias, whether if it's race-related or not, but because it could be cultural, it could be language. But I think we have to start with ourselves. If we're all striving to have to grow in personal holiness, you know, Pope Benedict XVI said, an event, a person which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction in Dux Caritas. I mean, he's talking about how we have to actively participate. We have to be willing to put ourselves in his midst and to be able and willing to have an encounter, as Pope Francis said, to go out to the periphery. When I think about going out to the periphery, it's not so much as marginalized or ostracized, but going outside of your comfort zone, going outside of your parish hall walls to another community and to intentionally establish new relationships.
Hmm. I thought that was a very interesting comment you made about actually going to a mass, going to visiting a church where there may be more people of a different ethnic group to appreciate the liturgy there, to appreciate the worship. That's one thing I love about our Catholic Church, that it is universal. And I've had the blessing of being able to travel a lot for Heartbeat International all around the world and have experienced Catholic Mass everywhere, not everywhere, of course, but it seems to me I've been to 54 countries. And and the way I was raised, and I bet you were too, Pam, because I know you're a cradle Catholic, you do not miss Mass on Sunday. Travel is not an excuse. You know, there's always a Catholic Mass. And so I have experienced the liturgy in all different ethnic groups and backgrounds, and it really is a beautiful thing. I love that aspect of our church. And, I think that's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It introduces us to a different culture, different languages, different ways of celebrating, praising, worshiping, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love the various images of Mary, of our Mother Mary. I love the beauty in the art and the singing. And even if I don't understand the language, you're invited into that moment, into that worship experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the language and the ethnicity, it doesn't matter. We're all there, celebrating. We are God's beloved. We are his children and we are united in Christ. And just the Eucharist is such a beautiful experience. It's just that reminder of community. And and that's what we're talking about, community.
Yes.
Which is important, especially nowadays.
That's so true. And, you know, that brings me to another a quote that I love in this letter from the bishops that says, from Revelation, we know that the one God who created the human race is triune, a communion of truth and love. And so by faith, we recognize all the more clearly that human beings are by their very nature made for communion. So as we come together in communion, not only the actual Eucharist, which is the greatest form of our communion, but as we commune together and are in relationship together, that in and of itself breaks down the barriers, doesn't it? And a praying together, I love praying together, definitely brings unity. And so this is a wonderful way for us to really create the unity that God intended. Pam, we've only got about one more minute. Is there anything that that you would like to add to conclude our program here?
The one thing I would like to add is that we just need to remember that we're all in a different place when it comes to having these difficult conversations. But we also need to remember that we are all a part of salvation history, and reconciliation and healing is something that I truly believe the church does so well with. And once, if we keep that in mind and knowing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll be able to continue these conversations, and we won't be having these conversations at some point.
That's so beautiful and hopeful, Pam. Thank you so much. I want to remind everybody of how they can contact you, the Office of Ethnic Ministries of the Diocese of Columbus, ethnicministries@columbuscatholic.org. And the director is Pam Harris. Thank you again, Pam, for being our guest today on the Family Sanctuary. And you have been listening to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn. And our program is broadcast every Saturday at 4 and Sunday at 2, and with archives at stgabrielradio.com. So please join us again to help make our families sanctuaries of life as God intends.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.